everyone. I'm Gary Nall. Let's go to the phones and see who's up now. Again, please, calls only in the New York area, 212-209-2900. Hi, you're on the air. What's your name, please?
Hello, Gary. My name is Stephanie.
Stephanie, how are you?
Good, thank you. I'm in your health support group in Morristown. I have many of your books, and I follow anything that you would say to do. One of many problems that I'm suffering from is dysmenorrhea. It's so severe that it keeps me out of working. It keeps me, I'm in bed for days, and I just can't understand it. I'm primarily a vegan, except I do eat salmon. I do everything that's right for myself, following everything that you tell me to do from your books and from your health support group. I go for acupuncture regularly and Reiki, craniosacral therapy. I'm on homeopathic remedies. I did find Simisifusia racemosa, I hope I've said that right, from your book, and I've been taking that for months now. But I still can't understand why I'm suffering from this dysmenorrhea. I tried to talk to you at the last support group, but we all had to get out of there quickly for your next group to come in. And any thoughts that you might have would be wonderful.
How old are you?
I will be 28 next week.
Mm-hmm. Were you ever exposed to any environmental pollutants?
Not that I'm aware of.
All right. Had you noticed any hormone imbalances earlier in your life?
I have not noticed that, but the Reiki master that I go to has told me that I do have problems with my hormones. She did mention that to me recently.
Okay, what I'd like for you to do is give me a little understanding. Take your time. There's no rush here. About your health over the last 10 years. Just the highlights. Take a moment or two and just go through it, all right?
Okay, I'd say over the last 10 years, my health has more or less been good. Aside from the dysmenorrhea, which I go through, I can be very active at times. This one thing particularly, it just seems to bring me down every month. Otherwise, I'm pretty much, my health is overall seems to be pretty good from the fact that I'm doing lots of juicing. And the fact being almost a vegan and eating organic foods, I just feel that I do have a lot of energy. I suffer from skin conditions and sometimes migraines and various things with the stomach as well. And I feel that all ties in. But I'm able to keep that under control with everything natural that I'm doing. The only problem is this dysmenorrhea. And no matter what I seem to be doing, it's there every month, and it plagues me, and it keeps me in bed for days.
Okay, well, let me give you some suggestions that you may find of value, and hopefully other women in the audience, or men who don't pay attention to the women in their lives when they say they have dysmenorrhea. Dysmenorrhea is only one of many menstrual cramps and irregular menstruation. Painful and difficult periods are so commonplace in our society that some women have to think of them as almost normal, but they're not normal. And I feel that the dysmenorrhea, which is a menstrual cramp, can be related to two things. Dietary practices, yes, but that's not dominant. Unresolved emotional difficulties is dominant. Now, if you ask the average person what causes menstrual cramps, certainly people who would listen to this program would say probably toxic foods and preservatives and additives and caffeine, that's a big one. They're due to the putrid proteins found in dairy and meat, including our previous caller's hamburgers. And these foods contain a lot of hormones. Now, those hormones, and there was a time in your life when you ate meat, right?
Yes. Many years ago.
Okay, but still, remember, it's like saying that you were in a car wreck but never recovered the car. You know, you hit a wall at 50 miles an hour, and you get out of it, you think, okay, I'm going to drive safer, that's fine, but did you repair the damage? And you have to understand this on the level of cells and energy. When we have exposed the body either to an emotional or physical trauma, the energy of that exposure remains in the cell. And it can manifest in many different ways. And unless you have a clinician who is trained in energy rebalancing, the cell's energy doesn't get rebalanced. And that's where all this has to happen, at the cellular level. Now, Chinese medicine would be an appropriate approach. The Chinese attitude is that they attribute this condition in part to pent-up anger and frustrations. If you're not happy with your life, if you're angry with people, have been angry with people, if you've held on to that anger, then you must work this out. The liver, which stores blood and prepares it for the period, is also responsible for anger. And that's not a Western concept. But with many individuals, they find that working out anger helps the liver relax. And as a result, there's far less of a problem with dysmenorrhea. Mind you, that's a Chinese and Japanese concept. It's not a Western concept. The Western doctors say nonsense. The liver's there to detoxify, conjugate toxins, and acts as a metabolism organ. Largest organ of the body, period. Well, yes and no. Hormonal and psychological factors cause painful periods, and that explains many of the underlying factors. Now, what causes dysmenorrhea is exaggerated uterine contractions. And these contractions are mediated by receptors in the uterine lining that are stimulated by hormonal and psychological factors. Hormonal factors that stimulate the uterine receptors are actually able to be isolated. And they are chemical messengers called prostaglandins. Now, two things are clear. People with menstrual cramps have an excess of prostaglandins, and there's an imbalance in the types of prostaglandins they do produce. And eating foods that you may be allergic to increase the prostaglandin production. For example, many women are sensitive to yeast, and eating baked foods, breads, pastries, or any kind of processed fruit juice can cause an increase in prostaglandin production. That's why you must look not just at a diet, because even a vegan diet can be harmful. I know a lot of vegans who are just unhealthy. You have to understand that you can be deficient. Most vegetarians are deficient in B12 and vitamin B6 because they're not taking the vitamins and the macrobiotic, unfortunately, where there's certainly some beneficial aspects to eating more grains and root vegetables like burdock root. That's good. But because the founder of the macrobiotic movement has no knowledge or desire to learn about vitamins and supplements, they've excluded that from their philosophy, and that's a big missing link. Now, there are different types of menstrual pain. Usually it's experienced as a spasmodic cramp, but there can also be an achiness, a feeling of heaviness in the lower abdomen, or discomfort in the lower back or thighs. Other symptoms may include some nausea and vomiting, loss of appetite, diarrhea, headaches, dizziness, tiredness, anxiety, even depression. Well, dysmenorrhea usually begins at the onset of menstruation and lasts a few hours, but it can begin premenstrually and remain for several days. According to traditional Asian medicine, if the tongue has a thick white coating, the problem is a result of too many of the wrong types of proteins, while the thick yellow covering signals toxicity from protein. Now, have you ever looked in the mirror at your tongue?
Yes, I have.
And what's it show?
Well, there's a line down the center of my tongue, and my tongue is a little bit coated towards the whitish color, but mostly, basically, my tongue is pink.
Okay, but even at this time of the month, that's showing that you should switch to easier assimilated proteins, and that the proteins may not be compatible at that time of the month because proteins also stimulate hormones. So you have to be able to be flexible and change, and try this next month. Change all the proteins you're eating the moment dysmenorrhea starts. Also start looking at some supplements, which I'll get to in a moment. Now, if you went to a regular doctor today, they'll generally prescribe medications like ibuprofen, which I am opposed to. But what it does, ibuprofen inhibits prostaglandins. And while these agents work to relieve menstrual cramps and the accompanying symptoms, problems occur when drugs are taken month after month. And the side effects, you're going to get gastrointestinal bleeding and decreased blood flow to your kidneys. and a leaky gut syndrome. And so you've got to change. Now, I'm assuming that since you're in a health support group that you're eating a good diet.
Definitely. Everything that you mentioned in your books, all the papers you've given out.
Okay.
I follow everything.
Good. That's good because that at least gets the body eating good, wholesome foods.
That's right.
One of the things you have to do is eat more cool, green foods that helps reduce hot stabbing pains and inflammation. And it's good to eat foods such as legumes. Oatmeal is very good. Steamed vegetables are good. Deep sea fish, like salmon.
I do eat that.
Mackerel, that's good. Flaxseed oil. And then you cannot have any hot spices.
Right, I've cut that out. I just cut out potatoes from
my diet. And you can also, you cannot have any garlic.
Right, I've cut that
no
out.
No onions.
Right.
Now, mind you, I don't want other people to think they should give up garlic and onions, which are phenomenal and you should have.
Right.
We're talking about you.
Right.
And any foods that might provoke an allergy, and women who have never had this won't respect the pain that you can go through.
True.
Because it's a nerve-related menstrual pain. And I have found that any nerve-related menstrual pain benefits from tofu. But you have to stay away from too many cold raw salads. Also, fasting with juices for 2 days is not only good hygienically, but also can help maintain a normal pH, and that's good. Evening primrose oil, taken throughout the month,
that
helps prevent the headaches and the blemishes, and magnesium citrate. And I would also suggest the philodendron. Philodendron, philodendron, that's a very popular one in Chinese medicine, and also gardenia. Now, gardenia, G-A-R-D-E-N-I-A, very important for dysmenorrhea. Corn silk tea, corn silk, you know, when you have an ear corn, you got the little silk coming up out of it.
Yeah.
That's good. So we want the corn silk tea, and that'll help get rid of the bloating that comes from too many hormones stored in the blood. And very good. And now write this down. It's called Xiao Yo Wan.
Yes, I know. I have it.
X-I-A-O-Y-A-O-W-A-N.
Yes.
It's a powerful but wonderful remedy. That's very good. Green tea.
I take that
consume
every day.
3 times a day. Aloe vera juice. Six times a day.
I take that 3 times a day.
No, six times a day. And the reason that you want to take it 6 times a day is because the hormone balancers, one of the greatest single juices you can take in the world is aloe vera juice.
Yeah.
But it can't be just the gel because the gel does not have the mucopolysaccharides. Gel's good topically. The gel would be good if you had upset stomach or something going wrong in a, let's say, with malabsorption syndrome. But if you want to really rebalance hormones in a healthy way, aloe vera from the whole leaf will do that. Dandelion is very good. Sarsaparilla is good, especially if you have hot stabbing pains.
Oh, yes.
And because sarsaparilla is a natural anti-inflammatory, antiseptic, diuretic, it's very soothing. Valerian root is a sedative herb. Is especially good for nervous women who experience insomnia or anxiety or crying jags or emotional upsets. And then what is called Yunnan Paiyo, Yunnan Paiyo. It's a combination of herbs that reduce heavy bleeding and stabbing pain. And because it increases the circulation, the internal bleeding is healed and swelling and pain are reduced. Now, then there's some homeopathic remedies, and these homeopathic remedies really are best used under the care of a classically trained homeopath, but there are some individual ones that can make a difference. One of them is Colocynthius, C-O-L-O-C-Y-N-T-H-I-S. And it is a frequently indicated remedy that is useful when you have a severe onset of sudden cramps, particularly on the first day of the menstruation. And emotionally, you're intense with irritability and your anger. And a key indication is that you feel better when your knees are pulled up toward the stomach and held with firm pressure. But you could also use Magnesia Phosphorica, which is Magnesium Phosphorica. It helps spasmodic cramps with bloating. And the key indication for this remedy is that you feel better from warmth. And Magnesia Phosphorica and Colocynthius help alleviate the symptoms in about 85% of the cases, has been my experience. And then Pulsatilla. Pulsatilla is, if you have the cramps and the flow of bleeding are changeable. The pains themselves are typically cutting and tearing, and you can be feeling them in your lower back or in your kidney region. Generally, you feel worse in warm, stuffy rooms and better in the open, fresh air. And emotionally, you tend to be mild, gentle, and weepy when you're entering your menstrual state and prefer the company of other people to being alone. And then you have Viburnum, V-I-B-U-R-N-U-M. It's indicated when the menses are very scanty and often late, and in fact, they may last only a few hours. And when you get cramps, the flow of blood stops, and cramps tend to radiate in the sacrum and in the thighs, and you may feel faint or even feel like passing out. And chamomile is helpful if you are either hypersensitive to insulin, or if you are emotionally, you tend to be irritable and contrary, and someone brings you something that you ask for and then you don't want it, and during intense periods you may become dependent on coffee. That's not you, but that I'm talking for the larger audience as well. And I would also use aromatherapy. Each night I would take a bath with marjoram, clary sage, and lavender, because all of these are natural analgesics. And about 20 drops of oil added to a lotion or oil massaged into the abdomen and the lower back will help relieve menstrual pain. And then you want to breathe in that cooling fragrances of the rose, lavender, and sandalwood. That helps with alleviate sharp stabbing pain. And then hypnosis. One of the best hypnotherapists in New York is Dr. Michael Elner. He is terrific, and he's helped a lot of people who have unresolved conflict and get them into a regressive hypnotic state, and so they can go back and go through their defense mechanisms and their denials and surrender that, let it go. Now, for the women in this audience who suffer from amenorrhea and menorrhea, by the way, those are both medical terms for abnormal blood flow. Amenorrhea refers to the cessation of bleeding or a very light and infrequent period, and most often caused by abnormally functioning hypothalamus and pituitary glands and ovaries and uterus. By the surgery can cause it, drugs can cause it, aging causes it, even being bulimic or anorexic will cause it. And also excessive dieting or overexercising, driving too hard your body. That'll cause a lot of overexercised women just stop their period altogether. But that also could be helped in a very similar way. So I hope that helps you, and thank at you. Least to take another step in your journey towards wellness, all right?
Thank you so much, and I look forward to seeing you at the next health support group.
Okay. You have a nice day.
You too. Bye.
I'm Gary Nall. Let's take another call. Hi, what's your name, please? You're on the air.
Hi, my name's Arlene.
Hi, Arlene.
Hi.
Are you on a cordless or a regular phone?
Cordless.
I need you on a regular phone.
Oh, okay.
I need the radio turned off and on a regular phone, and just for everyone else in the audience, if you call in, please call in on a regular phone, because the frequency connection with the studio and the ISDN lines we have is much more compatible.
We have a phone. Cord.
Huh? What's that?
I said, I don't actually have a phone with a cord. If I stay close to the base, does that help?
All right. Would you ask your question quickly, and then you'll have to hang up and listen to the answer.
Okay. Actually, I had two, if I can. One was about relocating. We're looking to buy a home, and I know that you're well-traveled. And I tell you, I don't really want to move to an area that where their people are not conscious, where I can't find a health food restaurant or store. And it seems to me that we might, you know, New York, this area, I come from Queens, might be the area that we may have to stay in, although the prices of, for the houses here are really, really expensive.
What is it you want for yourself? What do you and your family want?
Well, we want to be able to grow our own vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be able to dehydrate our own vegetables. So we need a, you know, I don't need a big, big property, but we need...
What kind of work do you do, or your husband?
My husband works in computers. I'm a stay-at-home mom.
Okay, so he could work anywhere.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, so you're not restricted to the New York area. If you're not restricted to the New York area, move.
To where?
Oh, well, depends upon your aesthetics and practicality. Now, if you like gardening, I was just counseling someone early this morning about this in a very similar way. I think most people are going to prefer warmer weather because the harshness now that we're having in the winters, and you're simply not going to be able to realistically grow stuff in the quantity you need or would like to, because I always like to suggest people, when they make a home, make it so that they can also be completely self-sustaining.
That's what we want. We want self-sufficiency.
Because otherwise, in the future, you could find yourself in a place where you lose your job, you have to downsize, and now you got this big mortgage, and you're stuck, and markets can fluctuate tremendously, and I believe we're going into a recession. It's going to take about 9 months to get there. There'll be a lot of denial. I believe that our economy is only staying afloat right now because of the massive amount of debt that has been incurred by individuals and corporations. The average American has a 3% negative savings. That's the worst in our history.
Right.
The average corporation is heavily in debt. And if most corporations cannot be valued upon their current profit because they wouldn't have any value. Therefore, when companies are shown to be at 100 or 200 times earnings, that's a completely artificial and false number. Has nothing to do with the reality of the profitability of the company. But major corporations can borrow enormous amounts of money. And now the bank has so much money and they can't stop giving them money. They could you. And when the market starts to dry up, just like in Manhattan real estate, I looked at an apartment about 6 months ago, and it was expensive. And I asked the broker, why is this apartment this much money? And she turned to me and she said, because it's bonus time, and Wall Street people are giving big bonuses. I said, what happens when the bonuses stop coming? She says, the market dries up. And then only those people that have enormous amount of affordable money, meaning lots of cash, can buy. Because everybody else is going to be tethered to the economy. That economy can vary. A lot of people own only because they were able to float a lot of debt. What happens when the value of what they had drops? The banks are going to call in those loans and ask for more collateral. In other words, we're living on a house of cards. It's going to crumble. So I believe that if a person has a home, they should be able to have something they can do from the home that can create their food and give them a home-based business from which they can then maintain a quality of life. I would look in Florida. I believe that Florida is the most compatible state to live in right now. It's got the lowest taxes, homestead law, which protects your assets, and it's got good weather 12 months a year. And there's an enormous market for young people and who are into health. You go down the East Coast or West Coast, you're going to run into whole new pockets of people who are migrating, who just don't want to be in the overly priced, overly congested, long commutes, heavy traffic,
exactly.
And crime and everything else is occurring up here.
Right.
If you're well-to-do, then New York has a lot of reasons to live here. If you're not, then it can have some problems. That's one area. Southern California is another area, down around San Diego. Beautiful down there. It's got great weather, very progressive people, lots of culture. lots of organic stores and farms. And then Northern California, up around Ojai, and then further on up north of San Francisco. You have about an hour north of San Francisco in the Napa Valley, and even north of that towards Sacramento. And Sacramento is one of the most progressive cities in America. Very progressive. A lot of culture. Lots of people in the health movement. Good weather most of the year. And then you have...
What do you think about the coastal areas and the flooding that's going on and things like that?
I wouldn't be in a flood area. Last night I had dinner with a buddy in between classes, and this guy says, Gary, remember 20 years ago we went to Hamptons and there was a great bargain on a house, but we couldn't afford it? And a bunch of us were going to go in and buy a house together. It was $50,000. That house now is $3 million. And last year that house went underwater.
Right.
Boom, it's gone.
Right.
On Dune Road, all those places. You have to be practical.
Right.
But it depends also upon your aesthetics. A lot of people move out to Montana. Great in August. No place to be in November, December, January, February, and March.
Right.
You have to be practical. So that's
what do you think about Canada? Do you know anything about Canada?
I know a lot about Canada. And Canada's got some beautiful places, mainly Vancouver or Toronto, either coast. Vancouver is probably the better place. It's got a better climate and enormous amount of culture and wonderful human beings there, and great sports, great athletics. It's great. We're out of time.
Well, could I ask you one more question?
No, we're out of time.
Okay.
We're out of time. Thanks. And I want to thank everyone for listening and sharing their thoughts, and we'll do it again. Have a nice day.